On this week's Nonsensible Podcast,
Jay was the reason why Dave decided to shave his eyebrows, and some people really liked it. He told me.
You did like audiobooks with that voice.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Give us an example.
I'm drunk, dude.
It's actually hibiscus tea.
Oh.
Oh, yes. French.
Come on.
Ooh la la.
I beat everyone in the Dragon Hill Jim Jabong at Mario Kart the other day.
This is Nonsensible.
Everybody, welcome to Nonsensible. My name is Saul.
I'm Dave.
I'm Sam.
Yeah. I'm Wolf.
Wolf.
Yes.
We got a very special guest, Proxy Wolf, on the show today.
All right. Go ahead and introduce yourself to people who don't know who you…
Sure. So, I've lived in Korea since 2011. I'm originally came here as a StarCraft commentator, StarCraft 2 commentator. And I'm an esports commentator still. I commentate the Overwatch League. And I love Budaechige, so I've gotten quite famous in Korea for like just Budaechige pictures, posting videos. That's kind of like a side thing that I do. Like my main job is esports commentary, but I've gotten unrealistically big off of Budaechige alone. It almost feels like it's hard to like fathom just by posting pictures of Budaechige that people would be like, "Wow, this guy likes Budaechige. I like that he likes Budaechige," but. Yeah. It's kind of a thing.
See, well, can you tell the people what Budaechige is?
So Budaechige is Korean army stew. And, you know, that's… I'm sorry.
I was just trying to watch Saul. Saul's trying to pour himself a glass of soju without making any noise and being discreet as possible. But it wasn't working.
I love Budaechige. I want to hear what he's saying.
I thought you were laughing because, like… You know, oftentimes Koreans write Budaechige as Korean army stew, which nobody really calls it that, even if you're a foreigner out.
And that doesn't sound very yummy, right?
Yeah, right. Army it sounds like what? Yeah. But it's basically like during the Korean War, they didn't have a lot of ingredients to survive and make food. So they had to like put spam and beans and ramyun together in a big pot of survival soup, basically. And then it got popular again, you know, decades later, people started eating it again and making really nice broth and making the soup taste really good. So it had a big resurgence and it's really popular now.
Amazing.
But there's a difference as well, isn't there? You've got the Wijongbu, you've got one from Songtan. There's supposed to be a difference to them as well.
Yeah, like every Budaechige place has its own like style and like how much sausage you put in it, what kind of spam you use, what kind of ham you use. Like, do you put beans in it? Do you not put beans in it? And it's really just up to like the restaurant owners and the chef who makes it. Mm-hmm. And then you have like Budaechige chains that are huge, like King Kong and Norbu, that you know are franchised and have their own special way they do it.
Budaechige is actually what got me into enjoying spam in the first place because before I came to Korea, I always avoided spam.
Everyone did, right?
My parents told me, you know, spam's not good, don't eat spam. But then I came to Korea and I had Budaechige when I'd been in Korea for maybe like a month. And I tried Budaechige and something in that was like bomb. Something that was fucking fire. And I
preservatives.
Was like, what is this? I'm like, what is this? They're like, spam. I'm like,
spiced ham and can.
Yeah.
Spam?
I had the same thing. Like, I got taken to Budaechige by Tasteless, who's a StarCraft commentator, one of my mentors when I first moved out here. He was like, you're going to love this. The first time I was eating it. And I saw it in the bowl outside. And I had seen these restaurants, you know, walking around Seoul. And I see it in the bowl outside on the picture. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. And I go in and they ring it out. And I'm like, that looks kind of gross. I'll be honest with you. And I had heard spam tastes really bad. And they said spam was in. I didn't know what it was, though, like which ingredient in the soup it was. But then when they took the lid off after cooking it, I was like, oh, you know, like that looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I love ramyun. So I'm gonna eat that. And I remember tasting, what is this? This tastes so great. And they were like, it's spam. I was like, oh, spam's. Why is everyone hating on spam so much?
Yeah,
it's actually quite nice.
I mean, visually, it's not the greatest meal, that's for sure. But as soon as it hits your taste buds, it's like, damn, that is… There's something to it. It's like, how do you mix all that up? And spam for me was like… I remember eating it when I was young. And then it was like, as you get older, you're like, I can't touch that. Mm-hmm. And you come over here and there's… You can get gift sets of spam.
Yeah, it's like the Korean kind of Thanksgiving gift,
it's
right?
Spam. It's spiced ham in a can. And it's like… I don't like that, but the Budaechige, after having that, it's like my kids eat it with rice, man.
Yeah,
just like it's so in a frying pan. And
And that's the thing. They give that. If people don't know, they gift people that on Korean holidays. They gift you big boxes of spam.
Like,
and in
vegetable
the States,
oil, olive oil, and spam.
States, if you gave somebody spam for Christmas, they'd be like, "Fuck you." You.
Can you imagine getting that under your Christmas tree wrapped up?
Yeah.
A box of spam.
That would be like a joke. What is the secret Santa? That would be the secret Santa gift that most people in America would be like, I don't want this shit.
I didn't understand that when I first moved here. I remember going through big giant marts out here, going through E-Mart or Home Plus and just seeing all these giant gift sets of spam and seeing people walking around carrying these giant gift sets of spam, these bags. And sometimes gift sets of toothpaste and other things where you're like, yeah. Is this what people want? But that's a common gift set out here. It's really common.
That. It's when you have a housewarming party, the gifts that you generally get are toilet paper or it's detergent.
Yeah.
And back home, if someone gave you the gifts like that, you'd be like, that's just f-ing rude. But when you think about it, it's actually a really good gift.
It's a foolproof plan.
Yeah. You're not going to fuck up with it. Yeah. Everyone needs toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they're going to run out. And you can't be unhappy with that.
Yeah, you really can't.
Yeah, it's not a bad gift.
I always thought that spam kind of smelled. You remember when you first smelled canned dog food and you were like, this looks nasty, but it smells kind of bomb.
No.
Right?
Dude.
Oh, you don't? I know
what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't know, maybe you had the wrong kind of dog food or whatever, but a couple of times, when I couldn't get the hard dog food for my dog and I opened up one of those canned ones, I was like, I might eat this if I was really hungry. And that's how spam smells.
You must have been giving your dog some gourmet
dog food.
I was the 99 cent dog food for my dog back at home.
Only the best for Quinny, rest in peace.
I actually introduced you guys to Wolf.
Yeah, we met at his birthday party.
And Wolf has an interesting, like we mentioned earlier, his budae-jjigae thing and his game, his caster thing that he does, his game caster. And the thing about Wolf is he has a very divided audience in terms of…
They like him or they hate him?
No.
You said divided. I wasn't sure which way.
As in…
Luckily, it's not that.
So I made a video with him 2 years ago when my brother came to Korea. We had a budae-jjigae mukbang with me and my brother. My brother tried budae-jjigae for his first time and I thought the perfect person to do that with would be Wolf. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the comments were very interesting. All the Korean comments were like, 대한민국… 미국 놈, 부대찌개, 부대찌개, 부대찌개. And all the English comments were like, that's a caster, that's a caster. So people know Wolf from very different things. I find that very cool.
It's really difficult to manage social media with this as well. Mm-hmm. When I was growing my Instagram, up until I started doing all these budae-jjigae posts and posting in Korean primarily, I was doing esports posts. Like, I'm traveling, I'm doing this event, right? And then I started getting big and got a bunch of followers on Instagram suddenly, almost about overnight. And then I would post an esports post and I'd be like, unfollow. Like, who is this guy? I thought he's the guy who eats Korean food.
Yeah.
And then when I started getting big on Twitter for this sort of stuff, posting budae-jjigae pictures and food pictures, I would post a Korean tweet and my esports people would be like, what the hell is this?
Get this
off my feed.
Yeah.
I can't follow this guy.
You know Monte Cristo? I think I asked you this last time.
Yeah, I know him.
Monte Cristo was the League of Legends caster guy. He was a friend of mine. And
I thought it was a sandwich.
He It is a fire sandwich as well. It might be where he got the name or a book. But then he posted one day for me. He liked my music and he reposted. And at the time, he was really popular with a lot of Twitter followers. I don't know what he's doing now. But it was the worst idea ever to ask him to help promote my music because his fans hated my rap music. I got 2,000 views immediately from when he posted it. But all of the comments were like, Monty, fuck you, dude. Why did you post this?
Wow.
Yeah, it was not a good idea.
Shitty and negative.
Yeah. Wow. It reminded me just of you have to know your audience is.
Monty's audience is pretty aggressive and angry all the time.
Why? Why are they so mad?
I don't know. Monty has strong opinions, I think. He has really strong opinions and he likes to tell people about them and not everybody likes that. But people who really like him feel really strongly about the things he says and things he posts. So what is he like? He's a very prominent figure, but I think he's prominent because he's so controversial and he's really good at what he does. Like, he's a really great commentator. He's really well spoken. I mean, you might know this too, but he has somewhat of a theater background as well before he got into esports. So he's very good at talking and he's very good at making his points and he never backs down from what he's saying. So I think he's kind of attracted that type of strong personality to his following.
He kind of sounds like the Dr. Disrespect of Twitch.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Twink.
Have you, so he said that he's like announced gaming events at like the Staples Center. Have you done stuff like that?
I've done a lot of commentary around the world in different arenas and different events. Like I've never been to the Staples Center, for example, but I've commentated a bunch of different arenas in Korea. I mean, that's obviously where I do primarily most of my work.
Like how many people are we talking?
Like thousands, like 2,000, 3,000 people, wow. You know, sometimes more. I think the biggest event I've done maybe had like 7,000 people or so.
That's crazy. And are the two people who are playing the game in the middle of the stadium?
Well, it depends. Yeah, it depends. Like huge, I mean, because right? in StarCraft it is two people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
when I did my first, I think my first overseas event was in Las Vegas. And I think the crowd was like maybe 2,500 people. And I was really nervous because I'd been commentating for like a whole year on professional tournaments. It was no longer my bedroom, right? I'm doing this, you know, with GOM TV at the time. I was working with them. And like tens of thousands of people watch my broadcast every day. But I can't see them, right? I'm not casting to the audience that's in the studio in Mokdong. The studio is in Mokdong at the time. And it's like Koreans in that audience. So they're not hearing my voice. My voice only goes out to the stream. Mm. So when I went to Las Vegas to cast this tournament, I was like, ooh, I'm a little bit nervous because like everyone in the crowd is going to see me. Yep. And if I make a joke on the broadcast or I say something really intense, the crowd might not like it. Like, how are they going to react? Like they're right in front of me. Because I don't read the chat while I'm, you know, doing a live broadcast. Mm-hmm. So I started traveling around the world. It was like really nerve wracking at first, going from only kind of shooting my voice out to the void, kind of like what we're doing right now, right? There's nobody reacting to what we're doing live, except, you know, like producers and stuff on the side. But going from doing that for a year and then going to live events a lot, that was really crazy for me because I was suddenly traveling around the world. I'd never been really outside of the States before I moved to Korea. Then I was going to Sweden, France, Spain, going to the US, traveling around the US a lot, going to China. Like esports really brought me to so many different places because there's so many teams, there's so many players all around the world that are, you know, really good at esports and, you know, events happen all over the world because there's fans of esports all around the world. But yeah, I mean, to go back to your original question, I guess, yes, there's two players, you know, when I first started doing this, it was a 1v1 game, StarCraft 2. Mm-hmm. There's two players sitting on a stage. Somebody's in an enclosed booth that's soundproof because they're hiding their strategies. And if the crowd sees what one player is doing and screams, it gets really loud. Oh. If the player could hear that, the other player might think, oh, something's going on because I haven't seen anything unusual or weird, but the crowd suddenly screamed and yelled.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, so that's why soundproofing is really important in StarCraft. Even in the old days of the OSL, the on-game net Star League in Korea, you see the players when they're in their soundproof booths, they also have like what looks like ear protection on. It's essentially like the things that, you know, people who work at the airport where construction workers, there's like things that cover your ears. And underneath that, they have like earbuds on so they can hear the game sounds, but they have this like ear protection, a headphone type thing over their headphones so they can't hear the crowd and get, you know, strategy spoiled by crowd reactions.
But is that significant to only certain games? Because it looks like PUBG and tournaments like that, like it seems like they're just wearing headsets so that they can communicate with each other.
It really depends because some games, obviously, strategy is more important than others. Like StarCraft, you know, for example, I don't know how familiar you guys are with StarCraft, but you might like hide two barracks in the middle of the map and then, you know, send an attack very early on in the game. And then the crowd sees that and they might be like, oh my God, and, you know, start getting really excited. And you might think, well, if the crowd's yelling, like, I should probably check for two barracks in the middle of the map. And you see the barracks and then his strategy kind of loses.
Yeah.
Something like PUBG, it's like, there's a lot of stuff going on all the time. There's so many players that the crowd screaming wouldn't really necessarily give something away.
Mm-hmm. Sam, have you ever got into esports or watched any tournaments or anything like that?
See, here's something I wanted to talk about. I want to play devil's advocate just a bit here. Esports is an industry that's blown up recently. Mm-hmm. And it's considered a sport technically now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I grew up, this was not something that would ever be considered a sport. It was more of a recreational. Mm-hmm. It was a hobby. It was something you did for fun.
Yeah.
But there's kind of two trains of thought on this. There are people that agree with it being a sport. There are people that are like, but sitting in front of a computer, is that technically a sport if there's no physicality that goes along with it? And that's like, especially for you, Wolf, I want to ask the question. Like, obviously, you'd be an advocate for it being a sport. What would be your argument for people that say it's just playing a game?
Well, so I actually, the thing is, for me, I actually don't agree with what you'd say about that because I actually don't really advocate that it's a sport personally. Now, it's called esports, right? And that's what, I think that's the easiest way to explain to people, right? It's a competition and it's online oftentimes, email, right? People always joke like in our industry, like e-gaming, right? Because in the early days, people would always just give it different terms, but the one we all settled on was esports. people always say, like, when will esports become a real sport? Is it when it goes to the Olympics? Is it when it's considered, you know, by every country to be a sport in the Olympics, right? When everyone's fielding teams, when does it become legitimate? And for me, I think it's always been legit, right? It just is getting bigger. And I don't feel like esports needs to be recognized as a sport for it to be legitimate. I think a lot of people who are insecure about where they are in esports are worried about, like, is it a sport? Like, is it?
And I'm like,
it doesn't really need to be a sport.
Why do we have to categorize it? Yeah. I don't understand.
But I think you look at someone like Ninja. So Ninja's signed a deal with Adidas, sporting company. Ninja's also been on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So that's kind of changed the view of looking at esport competitors. It's kind of the average person is now connecting to someone like Ninja in different ways.
If you look at it that way, I mean, Nike's sponsored rappers, that doesn't make them athletes though.
But rap is a game.
But rap will never be big until it's really a sport.
Until they have it.
But people say that about esports, right? Like a lot of big execs and sponsors are like, that's that kid's game. It's not a real sport. And they like trivialize
it
that way.
Nobody thinks that anymore.
But I think as people watch it, whether 90s. It's a sport or not, right? Whether people recognize it as a sport, viewers keep coming in. Yeah, and if viewers are coming in, the sponsors come in and the money comes in.
Yeah, it's just an issue of semantics, right? Like it's a match the way that like chess is a match.
I don't think anybody calls it a children's thing anymore though. I mean, gaming has become so… Because we all grew up gaming and we all kept gaming. Sam, that's like a few years ago before we like hung out in real life. We would play games more than we actually hang out in real life because that was me and Sam's relationship. Like, yo, get on PS4.
Yeah.
Play shit, like random shit, you know? I mean, oh, God. It was so fun we used to play. What's that game called we used to play?
Division?
Division. When Division first came out, me and Sam were really into that. But that was like our relationship. And I don't think we have to categorize games anymore.
It's changed. The dynamics changed so much. When you have the Staples Center and there's events in that and you have… teams that travel the world that are sponsored by, you know, Puma and different organizations, the dynamic of video games and esports has changed dramatically. So the average person probably doesn't think it's kids' games. People that are in my mother's generation and maybe the generation before mine may think a little bit differently. But I think that's where you draw the line.
I think a lot of people are threatened by it as well. Like a lot of right now, a lot of traditional sports are kind of run by cable networks, right, and traditional television. And I think that TV is kind of falling by the wayside, like cable TV, because of online streaming. Even if you look at like Korean television right now, almost every major news network has a live streaming service where you can just watch it on your phone. You don't even need to have a cable TV anymore. Yeah. So a lot of sports kind of have big deals with cable companies. And when they see esports isn't on TV, they're like, uh-oh. If suddenly people stop watching sports and viewership goes down and everyone's watching online, like, where are we going to get all of our money? Where are we going to get all these deals? Like, I think people who are threatened by gaming and esports also like to try to trivialize and say, oh, it's not real sports.
I bet the jocks are worried that the gamers are coming for their ladies. Because, I mean, because, like, gamers don't look like they used to. I mean, look at Dave. Dave could be in a punk band, you know, but he's…
Dude, what the hell? Shut up. Dude.
Especially with those eyebrows, you know?
Cameras don't look the same.
There was a post on Instagram the other day, and it was somewhere along the lines of what you just said. It was two photos, and one photo was Ninja saying Ninja got paid $20 million in the last 12 months for like, I don't know what platform.
The Mixer
on.
Deal.
The Mixer deal, $20 million. And the other side was like Giannis saying he got paid $20 million to play basketball. But that's where we're at. Like athletes are on some of these esports contestants are on playing fields with professional sporting athletes.
What does it take to get that good at a video game? Like a guy like me who doesn't really watch or play video games, all I knew about video games was like watching South Park where like they would have kids like shitting in bags because they kept playing video games.
The World of Warcraft episode. Yeah.
Like my roommate in college, he would have crazy LAN parties with World of Warcraft. And I was just like, y'all come to the bar. But it would be like him and like hot girls playing video games. I'd be like, there's something to this. But I didn't know anything. But it took them hours and hours and hours to get just to like average levels for that game. What does it take to become a dude like Ninja who makes 20 mil.
I mean, I think Ninja is the funny
thing. He's an entertainer. He's not. Yeah, he's Ninja's an athlete though.
Yeah, Ninja's not like if Ninja played on a in a pro like the one the game he got famous streaming for the most part is Fortnite, right? Fortnite, which is like a battle royale game like PUBG.
He's just good enough to be good on a. On a streaming platform.
Yes. So he's funny. He's built his own brand. I mean, he does dances on stream. Yeah. To kids,
All
right. Look.
He's an entertainer, right?
Sorry. But he's very good at the game. He is very good, right? Mm-hmm. Like just like you have that one friend who's really good at games, but if he actually went to a tournament, he might get knocked out in the first round.
Yeah.
Just like everybody went to the tournament who's good at is good at games, right?
Yeah.
But to be like a professional you know, esports player, you have to grind and train. And you have to have a lot of talent too, you know. Although if you don't have the talent, you're going to have to work harder than everybody else. And even if you work super hard, you might not make it. Then you've got to get found out by a team. You've got to get scouted, and then you've got to go through testing phase, join the team.
Here's a good example. Saul, understand? The professor,
the basketball guy.
The professor.
Like he would get waxed in an NBA game.
He'd get waxed in an NBA game, but we still love watching professor juke people out. He's a basketball player. He's a street baller. Awesome.
And even professionals have like something they can learn from
him. Yeah, he's an awesome. But he can never play in the NBA. Mm. That's kind of like people like Shroud, for example. Yeah. There's a guy called Shroud. He's amazing at video games. Mm. He's an incredible gamer. Any game he touches, he's good at it. But he will never be a professional gamer because he doesn't grind for hours. People who are professional gamers, they will wake up… And go through like training sessions.
It's like the rule of what is it? 10,000 hours to become a master in your field.
Yes.
I was walking by my house the other day and went down a street I've never been down before, and there was like an academy for esports. Mm-hmm. And it used to be, I know with StarCraft in particular, there were teams and they'd live in the same apartment and they just have rows of computers.
That's still a thing, yeah.
They'd There's like reality like, shows about that Monte Cristo was telling me about.
Like Dave said, in the morning they'd get up and they'd play, they'd just be training for hours and hours and so hours. Awesome. They'd live with a coach in there and he'd be like overseeing.
They have a chef and everything. Like they have like in StarCraft, Rudor especially, like it was, I think, the most competitive environment for gaming there ever was in Korea. Like they would have kids, basically the team, say like SKT, right? SK Telecom has a team, and they're T1 now, but at the time, SK Telecom finds this guy on the ladder where everyone's practicing 1v1ing, trying to get the most points to get noticed.
Like the
ladder's like your ranking, like you go up or down based on your points, like your ELO, whatever you want to call it. Some guy gets noticed because a pro gamer hits him a few times when he's just playing games, and he messages him like, "Hey, you're pretty good. You want to play some more games with me?" Coach sees it, and he finds out, oh, this kid's 14. Can I get your mom's phone number? You want to come live in our house?
Sketch. That's the only sport where you can ask that question. Yeah. And it's not shit talking. Like some basketball player.
Sometimes at the time StarCraft was so legitimate. It was on television. People were making, literally thousands of dollars a month salary plus huge prize money if they did well. Sometimes the parents are like, yeah, I'll let him go over there. But then if you're that 14-year-old kid, if you don't grind 12 hours a day, even if you're like beating some of the people in the house, if you're not practicing harder than them, they're like, see ya, get out.
Yeah.
So you were like, I've got to grind for 2 years in this house, and then maybe they'll let me join the team, and then maybe I can play in a televised match. It was insane.
I play this game, Valorant. Wolf knows Valorant. You know what Valorant is, but it's like it's currently a up and coming esports game. Mm-hmm. And I play a lot of Valorant. I play it a lot. I mean, to the point where my YouTube's suffering because of how much Valorant I play. Okay. I'm Diamond Elo, which is like there's Diamond. There's Immortal, and then there's the Radiant, which is the highest. And I'm pretty good at Valorant now. I play a lot.
Better than me.
I play a lot. So I'm pretty good. Better than the average person. I'm Diamond in Korea, which is like even more hardcore than other servers. Mm. And the thing about this is I played… You know who Bunny Bunny is?
Yeah.
Overwatch. So we got an invitation from this ex-Overwatch pro player. This guy's just talented at video games. He came… for an in-house scrim, which is just like the boys and girls, whatever. But we were playing like 5v5 in-house, like not with random people. And this guy got on. He is so talented at the video game. He was an ex-Overwatch player. He comes on Valorant and he's been playing Valorant a lot lately. He just wiped the floor with me, who's been dedicating like 8-9 hours a day to playing
this game. Just because he's a naturally gifted gamer?
Just because he's naturally gifted gamer and he was just an ex-pro at another game. He comes on this game and just wipes us out.
Is it like finger speed?
I don't know.
It depends on the game,
Key speed?
Like for StarCraft, finger speed's super fun because you have to control large groups of army at once on a map, and then you have to. You might have a dropship going into your opponent's base at the same time your opponent drops into your base, and you're trying to control everything, and you're trying to make units, and you're trying to make sure all your workers are mining and getting money. So that's like really hand speed, super important for a game like StarCraft. Then you have to be smart, but
Valor's
like
Valor,
it's almost like Twitch reaction speed,
hand-eye coordination.
I mean, it's like for gamers, for like top gamers, it's like you have it or you don't. Sometimes it's not always like that, and some people can, you know, grind for 10 years and then suddenly get there, but you have to start really young. Which is not something I recommend, because a lot of people try for 10 years to be a top player and then have wasted a lot of their lives.
Well, I guess it's kind of like being a basketballer or any other athlete as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to dedicate so much time to that sport to try to become a professional. And if you don't get there, that's like, 10 years of your life, you're not getting back.
So is it like the one kid in the crew who didn't die in that level of the Lion King video game on Sega Genesis when that boulder was going through? That kid. That game. Yo, that
Lion
shit was...
King on Genesis.
That game was amazing, though. So yeah, that kid was so
I
hard.
I recently replayed that game, and I don't think it holds up.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's... I love playing old retro games. I mean, that's like a retro game now. I don't think it holds up.
No. The thing that when I was growing up, my mother was always like, stop playing games. What are you going to do with your life if you play games all day?
Yeah.
Nowadays, parents are like, you could become a professional.
It's better than being on these streets.
You could be a professional playing video games. Yeah. It's like when I was young, that was not an option. Like it was like, don't waste your time. Go and do your homework kind of shit.
That's funny because a friend of mine, Denny, he's a person I stream with a lot recently. And his dad told him, start streaming. You're too good at games. Start streaming. Make something out of this. And he's making a living off streaming now.
Imagine if we had made a podcast instead of playing that bullshit Lion King game when we were 10 years old. We would have the most amazing podcast ever.
All right. So I want to change the rhythm of this podcast. Sam, Wolf, and I are all huge gamers. We love video games. We've grown up playing video games. Saul, on the other hand, is not much of a gamer. He's played games, but he's not much of a gamer.
He's a player, though.
He's a player.
Player.
Can you go into your history on video games you used to play? When you were a kid.
I mean, I was the first video game I ever got was a Game Boy for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I was so stoked about it, but the game was Prince of Persia.
Oh, you didn't get Home Alone?
No, I
got Prince of Persia. You didn't get Miss Pac-Man?
Nope, I just got Prince of Persia and it sucked.
Prince of Persia was not great at the time.
But I was so happy that I got a Game Boy, so I was stoked about that. But that game sucked then, right?
Yeah, it was not good. The Game Boy version of that game is not good. The Super Nintendo one is like also it was really good at the time, but like going back and playing it now, I was playing that the other day.
The PS2 version was fucking bomb.
Yeah, once it got to bigger consoles, it was like, okay, Prince of Persia is sick.
I actually liked the original, like on PC.
From like DOG.
Prince of Persia. There was a PC version.
Yeah, PC version. Yeah, the animation was really cool in that game too.
I think I just like most kids, I moved to a Sega after that. It was like either a Sega or a Nintendo, right?
They were in the console war at the time. It was pretty huge.
This is also somewhat regional, I think. Like Sega seemed like it was quite big in the States, like Xbox is. Like Xbox is not really big outside of the States.
The Xbox was not big outside of the States, but Sega was definitely huge in Japan, though.
Oh, yeah, no, obviously. Yeah. But I think it was like in Australia, Nintendo was always bigger than Sega.
Oh, okay.
I get super nostalgic when I hear or like even just see Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah, I really like touches me. Like it reminds me of being a kid.
Okay,
so. I loved those games, and then later I moved to Tony La Russa Baseball, the EA Sports stuff. Mm-hmm. Was big with that.
So you told me you played a lot of sports games.
Madden.
I played Madden and played NBA Live.
Okay, a lot interesting.
With my friend, we got super competitive over that game.
Okay, but you were never a big gamer, huh?
Mm-mm. Just like only if it was like a social thing, like if everyone at the house was.
Drinking games.
Yeah.
Like I remember doing that with friends. It'd be like a pregame. You'd come over to the house and we'd play like sports games.
Yeah.
And the loser would have to drink. Like it just became like a drinking game that we have here in Korea, but over video games.
Yeah. That's what we did. We just used games to party. But like some of my roommates, you know, when we would like leave to go to the bar after we were done playing FIFA, they would go up to the room and play Warcraft and
Madden, NFL, NBA. Groups of people that have leagues and in the dormitories, university.
Yeah.
A lot of people playing it. And professional athletes as well.
Those are huge competitive-wise. Madden and NBA. Yeah. And so it's huge.
FIFA's like top five in PC bongs in Korea pretty regularly right now. Like everyone still plays FIFA here.
What's the other game? The other soccer
winning,
game?
Winning 11.
Winning 11.
Pro Evolution Soccer.
That used to be huge. And then FIFA kind of blew up even bigger. Like,
no, but there's it's still divided. PES versus FIFA is still very divided.
That's really what is Jake good at? Jake is
Pro Evolution Soccer PES.
Yes. Yeah, good PES, mate.
I was just reading an article, and there's a team in the UK, Division 4, that they've had their jersey sponsored by Burger King. And part of this whole thing was Burger King wanted to get this online promotion going. And it's now become the most popular team on FIFA, like because it's got Burger King on it and they've done this tournament. Selling out their jerseys and everything, it's become like, in terms of marketing, it's been the biggest tool that anything that's happened in like soccer recently.
Yeah.
And FIFA was a big driving point for that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So you still play a lot of the games, right, Sam?
Yeah.
How do you fit in your parental life, being a father? How do you fit in playing video games? And what, when your kids get older, are you going to get them into video games or are you going to kind of hold off on that?
It's already too late. My kids are already into it. Well, nice, William's into video games. I had the Nintendo floating around.
Good.
The Switch floating around at home. And he was at a friend's house and his friend was playing with the Switch. He was kind of like into it. And then I said to him, you know, Daddy's got one of those at home. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, Daddy's got one. And he's like, let's go and check this out.
Yeah.
And he's all over Super Mario. Like, nice, that's his thing. And he was playing that for a bit. Then he got onto an iPad and was playing games on that. And recently, I just got Tony Hawk Pro Skater has been re-released.
The remastered. Re-release.
I
heard it's so awesome.
I downloaded that recently and I was in my library at home. I have a library. And I was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater and William kind of walked into the room and he's like, what's that? Give me a go. So it was his first time playing on a PlayStation.
Okay.
And now that's kind of become the thing. He's like, I want to go and play video games with Daddy.
That's cool.
Awesome.
So he doesn't know the dynamics of which buttons to press and whatnot, but I kind of taught him how to ollie and how to grind.
You're an awesome dad, dude.
So he's picking things up and it's like, you know, if he's done something good, it's like he gets half an hour gaming time with Daddy now. So
nice,
it's like,
dude.
I've got to get some games that are more age appropriate. I've got Grand Theft Auto 5. I like played it the other day and he's like, Daddy, what are you doing? And I'm like,
I need to borrow this car really quick.
I'm like, it's just a game. Hang on, just close your eyes for a minute while Daddy finishes this mission.
That's crazy that you asked him about that because the only reason that I remembered that I played that Tony La Russa EA Sports baseball game is because I had an uncle who came to our house like every summer and I don't remember anything about him. And he unfortunately committed suicide when I was a little kid.
No.
But the one memory I have was that he was the only adult that would always play that game with me. And I wanted an adult to play that game with me so badly. And I remember that he played it with me every day. Uh-huh. And it was a real moment that we shared. It wasn't just you know, all those kids and their video games. It was a way that we bonded, you know. So that's pretty cool. That's
awesome. It's like I said before, the dynamic of video games has changed so much now with the advent of esports in particular. In my generation, it was like, get off the, PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're rotting your brain. Like, what are you going to do with your life if you play video games all day?
But those games are hard. Problem solving involved.
Well, hand-eye coordination. There's so much that's changed. And I think even now you look at schools and iPads have become an essential in a lot of schools now for elementary kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're using that. They're learning how to code on iPads. It's not just, you know, a medium anymore.
So unless it's detrimental to your children's well-being or their health, you're completely open to getting your kids into games, right?
It's for me, it's not an issue. It becomes a time issue. Mm-hmm. We set up time and say, okay, you've got 30 minutes. You've got 30, you know, you only get 30 minutes. It's not something you can do all day.
Yeah.
Sure. You gotta designate the time. My parents banned me from playing games on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I remember my parents calling them no Nintendo days.
Wow. Nintendo days.
And they were like, go outside and you got to do stuff. Get off the N64. Go outside and do things. And at the time, I was really annoyed about it. But I did get a lot more stuff done. Mm-hmm. I was a lot more productive during those times. Those are the days I worked on the school project that you have a month to do and stuff. But my parents are very anti-gaming for most of my growing up. Even though when I first got my N64, my parents would get super blasted and there were a few nights I woke up and came downstairs and my parents were drunk as hell playing Mario Kart 64.
Yo, okay, that's a game, bro. Even people who don't play video games love that game.
Mario Kart
has to be one of the greatest games of all time, right?
Well, I would come into my parents play Mario Kart 64 the next morning and they'd send me back to bed. The next morning I'd be like,
you guys were playing Nintendo last night. And they'd be like, no, it was just a dream you had. And I was like, okay. But then occasionally my dad would like quote some of the characters. Like one time I remember my dad like at breakfast, he's like, I'm Mario, I'm gonna win. I'm like, how does he know that?
Yeah.
He's definitely playing, right? but after that, like I always try to get my parents to play games with me, and they never were interested in it at all. So I'm pretty jealous of what your son has actually, that he can play games with you.
I'm so happy and drunk right now. Guys, I don't know if you guys, for people who watch the YouTube videos, but for people who are just listening to the podcast on Spotify or Apple
podcast
Apple. The internet.
we're sipping soju while doing this podcast, and we've never drank on a podcast.
Can we show them how we're in Korea? When you drink, you're supposed to drink together. Can we all pour one together?
I didn't pour Sam's this for myself. Let's right just now, pretend right? like this is someone else's.
Sam's being responsible.
I'm
so
I'm
cheers,
but I'm
we getting, don't have to clink or anything.
Wi-Fi cheers, as they
I'm
say.
Getting,
Wi-Fi cheers.
I feel really good, and I'm so happy that we can talk about games because I love video games.
Yeah, I was
so
going to say, you seem so alive.
Dude, all I do is play video games.
You texted me love ya today.
Yeah, dude.
I really appreciated that.
I've been playing this game for 7 days to die. You ever heard of 7 Days to Die?
No.
It's a just generic zombie survival game, but it's me and my friends have been bonding so much playing this game, and it just makes me happy, and I'm just been playing League, Valorant.
Okay, does anyone play Rainbow Six Siege here?
No, but that's a huge game.
It's big. I do not play. A lot of people always ask.
Do you play, Sam?
Well, one of my friends actually voiced one of the characters on that.
Mm.
And so that's kind of
who
like…
Who was it?
A friend of mine, he's an Australian but lives in LA. And it's an Australian character that he voiced for. Mm-hmm. And he's all of a sudden gotten to streaming recently. And it's become huge for him. Like that's… Until that, he'd been an actor. And just doing television and whatnot. And then he did this voice and all of a sudden he's like public persona is just blown up.
It's like Shannon from Valorant.
I don't know.
Never mind. Sorry. Go on. Sorry.
I'm not sure who that is.
I'm just going to say, for him, it's become a huge windfall now mm-hmm. that he voiced that. He traveled around the world before COVID blew up, kind of doing gaming events and kind of publicity stuff. And now that he's locked down in Melbourne… Twitch, he's on Twitch, and that's been his thing.
Would you ever do streaming, Sam? I think you'd be great on it because you love gaming.
See, I'd love to. It's we were talking about it before, and you're talking about Ninja and
I could set you
players
up.
Like that, right? They've got a personality, whereas professional gamers probably don't have the personality mm-hmm. as much. I don't know if I've got the personality to actually talk while I'm playing a game. Like
it's like talking and chewing gum at the same time.
I like
time.
Get into my game, and it's like. You kind of have to commentate on what's happening or kind of interact with people. I don't know if I can do that.
How old is your son, actually?
He's four.
Do something. Okay, well, give him content with the kids.
Maybe in 2 years or something. They'll be the personality on the stream. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, dude.
Just don't show them the chat.
Yeah. Just don't show them the chat.
Just turn the chat off.
Yeah, you got
to. When he gets a little bit older, you guys could do a father and son stream.
Yeah, do father some streams, like maybe in 2 or 3 years from now. Because the thing about Sam is, what I always thought was really cool about Sam was even when he was doing… When he was like always like a few years ago when I first met Sam, he was just so busy with TV work and stuff. But he would still come home and be like, yo, PS4? Well, he went to a game. And I didn't know that about Sam when I first met him. I thought he was just all about just entertainment industry, mm-hmm. you know. But Sam has a lot of layers to him. He loves sports. Like Sam, he's from Australia, but he's always music and shoes and NFL. We talk about football. We talk about basketball. Sam has so many layers to him. It's so sexy.
Yo, basketball, bro. Did you watch basketball today?
I haven't watched it yet.
Basketball. I'm not saying anything else. God damn.
Who do you think is going to win the championship? I think the Lakers are going to take it, though.
I think the Lakers are going to win, too.
This is a part where I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Nerd.
Yo, I wanted to ask you. I want to hear your commentating voice.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Let's commentate on Dave's eyebrows and Dave's eyebrows are growing back.
It really depends on the situation.
He's similar, though.
I know my voice doesn't change that much, but I'd be like, well, you guys have to know that Dave actually changed his eyebrows recently. And as a result, you know, just kind of like a little
I'm
bit
more locked
serious.
In already, though. That sounded great. Y'all got to hear this in his headphones.
So Dave, a few months ago, made some sort of decision that he would shave his eyebrows. I don't know. Why did you shave your eyebrows again?
It was Jay.
Yeah.
Jay was the reason why Dave decided to shave his eyebrows. And some people really liked it. He told me, in fact, I spoke with him before this podcast, and he told me some people really liked him without the eyebrows. I can't personally understand
why anyone would like that, but it's kind of this sort of voice. Yeah. I don't know.
I like that. I think it sounds great.
Well, I think the cool thing about a commentator or a caster is they talk to the people and make them relate to whatever's going on during, like, the whatever match is going on as well. He gives some backstory to it as well, which is really cool.
You could do like audiobooks with that voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah. You don't think it's anything special, but I think that sounded great.
The reason I don't think it's that special is because actually, here's something I will say about esports commentators in general. I think we're all the people who are in my field for the most part, like 90% of us, are not properly vocally trained, and none of us have a really good commentator voice like a sports commentator has. Like you listen to some of the top sports commentators,
bang,
and you can actually
bang that guy.
But you can hear. What's his name?
I love that the guy who always screams bang when.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You just started screaming and I
bang! You don't know the guy who always says basketball. That's like the new hot guy on Twitter and shit. They're always tweeting.
All I know is Tony Romo from NFL.
Ah, man, the guy who yells bang whenever they like a buzzer beater shot goes in. Anyway, sorry.
No, I don't know that guy particularly, but you could hear a difference, right, in terms of the quality. And I think it's because most of the esports commentators that exist are just because we're experts on the game, but not because of our voices. I mean, if you have a terrible voice, you're just not going to make it. But dude, my voice is not terrible, but I think most esports commentators, we have a lot of, there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Who's
in terms
the
of
Australian
that.
Caster or friend for who does League of Legends?
You mean Atlas, the guy who's working in here now, or Papa Smithy? Because there's always been like a few Australian casters in
for
Korea.
For Riot, and he was telling me, the Australian friend, and he was telling, he's like, yo, we're looking for some people for Valorant. And I was like, I wanted to try, dude.
Oh, that's Atlas, yeah.
Dude, I took him seriously. I really wanted to try.
You didn't get the job, is what you're saying.
He's making Dave get stressed out because Dave wants to do this like, passion project.
So he was like looking for like people to potentially like cast Valorant shit. And I love Valorant.
You could cast it with me maybe, man. It could happen one day. Who knows?
Dude, I would love to cast for Valorant, dude, because I love that game. And
just do it. What's the problem?
Well, that would be cool.
I want to do Valorant. I love Valorant. And I'm good, too.
Do it.
And I know what the f*** is going on in that game.
Do it.
You know what?
What's the issue?
Riot, if you watch this shit, you know what? Yo, hook me up with some Riot shit.
I will talk to them.
Because I could cast Valorant.
Okay, give us an example. Wolf just did it. Give us an example.
I'm drunk, dude. I'm wasted.
I'll
dude.
Be honest with you. I do worry about like how you're a really good speaker, right? You're obviously a YouTube personality. You're kind of hosting this podcast. Okay. Steal the thunder away from Saul over here.
Way better than Saul.
Steal it.
Yeah, what? Sports announcing?
But I wonder what it would be like. I know how you feel about Valorant, and like I know what you would, if someone bought such and such gun where he was standing, I know what you would say to me. And I would be like, yeah, of course, like Dave's right on this. But how would you say it to
just give it a shot.
Audience?
I don't know if he realizes that he's in heaven, right? I don't fucking know. I don't know.
Oh, you sounded good. That was a good start.
Like,
yeah. Like, I don't know.
I think it would come to you in time.
I would just make my own predictions. Like, I think they're going to rotate to C, bombsite C. And I don't know if they realize that they're in CT right now, but… I think they should start rotating from A to C. Like, I don't know.
That sounds good, actually.
I think they should start rotating from A to C.
But instead of, I think they should, you'd probably say it might be a good idea if they rotate over from A to C.
I mean, you can say, I think they should.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oftentimes that will piss people off if like people disagree with you.
In my opinion.
He keeps saying that they should do this, but should they really?
Yeah.
All right.
You guys want to have one more drink before we wrap this thing up?
Sure.
Let's have one more drink.
My concern is Dave going to be able to stand up for the next one?
Dude, I think I'll be good, dude.
Good thing he doesn't have to.
I'm in a good mood.
If you want, we can stretch. You can come and lie down over here, Dave, if it gets too difficult for you.
Why, Pi?
I'm down for that, dude.
Cheers, bro. Are you drinking water or is that your cool
protein? It's actually hibiscus tea.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. French.
Yeah.
Ooh la la.
All right, so have you been having fun joining us in this podcast?
Yeah, this has been really fun. I actually love doing podcasts like this where it's very free flow.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the podcasts that are the worst to do are the ones where like there's a list and the host has like a card and he's like, so we're going to move to C now. We finished the topic B and now we're going to C. So like,
you like kimchi and… that you get.
Well, you know, there's a thing where like sometimes you're in a podcast that's very rigid and you're free flowing talking about something and the host is kind of giving you this look of like…
Wrap it up.
You're like, oh no, this is all ruined, you know.
Or they get confused because it goes off their topic of questions. They're like, well, that wasn't the direction it's meant to be going.
you've kind of screwed it up for me.
We don't have that over here, though, because we got Sam and Saul to run this show.
Hey, you're doing a great job yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I have so much fun doing this show.
I love this show.
Yeah.
Guys,
do you guys have fun doing this show? Oh, we have fun.
They said yes.
That was in
don't
the affirmative.
Don't close us down.
The affirmative.
Don't close us down.
Not yet.
Not yet.
What is that? Is that? Are they talking about shutting us down?
They're talking about shutting us down.
Really?
Diana was talking about that the other day.
They're always talking about shutting us down.
It's because Dave can't keep his microphone close enough to his mouth during the stream. That's the reason.
Last week, Diane walked in. Diane was upset about me always touching my mic. Have you noticed I'm not touching my mic?
But I've also noticed that your hands are up like
I'm trying.
Like someone's
hard.
Yeah, I feel like I'm supposed to
like
call on you for some of the stream. I'm like, yes, Saul, in the back.
Yeah, I'm always touching the mic. I'm trying not to today.
So before we wrap up this episode, is there anything you want to shout out, Wolf?
If you guys want to follow my social media stuff, I'm at ProxyWolf on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, pretty much anything except my Twitch stream, which I'm trying to build a lot right now. So if you guys want to follow me there, I'm Wolf_Schroeder. Which is Schroeder.
I
know it's hard to spell.
I wish you stream more with me, you piece of shit.
Well, you never stream when I'm streaming.
Bro, I stream when you stream all the time.
Well, why
when
the
I stream,
you
stream,
me
we all
I can
stream.
I edit my stream. I can change up what I'm doing.
Well,
at
actually,
that time
I know something about you, though. You do like to solo stream a lot, which I understand. That's why I don't ask.
It depends on if I have something I promised my stream
you
I would
play
do.
A lot of solo games, though. He plays a lot of like Paper Mario and stuff like that. You have no idea what we're talking about.
I just got 120 stars in Super Mario 64 last night.
Wait, what? Already? That game just came out two days ago.
I got 120 stars.
What
I beat everyone in the Dragon Hill Jim Jabong at Mario Kart the other day.
If you know, you know.
Hey, I just clocked the Simpsons game in an arcade machine the other day.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh, that's actually a sick game. That's a really good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. Yeah.
I just lost my train of thought.
Wrap us up.
No, I was, Wolf, in terms of streaming, in terms of on Twitch, what content are you normally doing?
So, mostly I play Nintendo games, because I'm kind of a Nintendo guy, more than I never had a PlayStation growing up or anything like that. But I like to stream single-player games, RPGs, and I do stream a lot of, like, retro games, like Super Nintendo games, NES games, Nintendo 64 games. That's the kind of content I stream. And I chat with people about Korea. Dave does this as well. I think it's really fun to talk to Westerners who are curious about coming to Korea. Like, if I come to Korea, what's it going to be like? How's learning Korean? How's living in Korea? That kind of stuff. So I like to kind of play video games and chill with the chat, you know, and talk to them about my experiences.
Right on.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today, Wolf.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, brother.
Also, to all our viewers and listeners, if you want to find more of what we've got, check us out on Instagram, Dive Studios. You can find us on YouTube as well. Watch the whole podcast there. Don't forget to check out the podcast on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts.
Leave a review.
Yeah, on Apple Podcasts.
Five
we appreciate
stars.
The reviews. Five stars is, that's probably what we want more often than not. Okay, and we'll be back again with more next week.
Peace.
Bye,
thank
guys.
You so much for joining us, Wolf. Bye, guys.
Thanks, bye.